happy to be joined now by Manon Rayom on the 28th anniversary of becoming the first woman to play in any of the four major North American pro leagues when she entered as a goaltender for the Lightning in an exhibition game. Manon, thanks for joining us this evening. And first of all, I hope you and your family are doing well, but also happy anniversary. I wanted to start there with you. I mean, that's absolutely terrific. September 23rd, 1992, as I said, 28 years ago. And I just wanted to ask straight off the bat, what do you remember from that game? Like, do you remember at this point every little movement from the other players, the goals, what they looked like coming in, you know, into the crease at you? Like, what do you remember?
I remember a lot from that game. Actually, I remember a lot from the entire experience, the training camp, the pregame before. But that game, that walk from a locker room to the ice, is probably the most nervous I ever been in my life. I felt like my heart was beating so hard that it would come out of my chest. But the most amazing thing is when I stepped on the ice, like the butterfly went away and I was just like playing a hockey game. And I was not thinking about, like, this is an NHL game. I was just out there and playing a game. And I remember they had a power play right away, right from the start. And at first I was like, really? We're starting on a PK? But, you know, after getting a few shots, I really felt good and get into the game. So I think it was a good thing.
So I want to ask you, I'm curious about kind of the lead up to, I guess, getting that game action, you know, kind of the conversations with people involved with Tampa Bay, especially, you know, the head coach at the time, Terry Crisp. Like, what do you remember about them telling you that, you know what, you were going to get some action in a game, and just that kind of that whole process and that whole conversation?
Yeah, we started the camp right away with a mini tournament. So everybody was divided in four different teams, and we were playing each team once, and every team had two goalies, and each goalie was playing a period. So that's how we got started. And my first game, I did not allow any goal at my period that I played, and I had 14 shots, and I got a shutout. We won the game, and I remember after that game, Phyllis Blue still coming up to me and said, you have to hurry up. We have a press conference. And so I went out there, and my English was not very good, but I was able to understand a little bit. And I was sitting there at the press conference, and one of the reporters asked a question, and I came up, and one of the questions said, do you think we're going to see her in an exhibition game? And Phil said, after the performance tonight, you may see her soon. So at that moment, my leg was shaking. I'm like, did he really say that? And I end up having a really good mini tournament. I end up with the third best average of all the goalie. And that's something that back then nobody talked about. They just said, oh, she played in the game and it was for publicity. But they didn't talk about my performance prior to the game.
You mentioned Phil Esposito. What was your relationship like with Phil, perhaps right before you got to training camp? Like, did you know him beforehand? Like, how did he reach out to start conversations and communications with you in the first place?
Actually, I didn't know him. And I play a game in a major junior, and I guess one of the scouts sent him a tape of me. And at first, he didn't know that I was a girl. And after my year in the major junior, I thought I was done with hockey because I'm like, okay, now I'm going to be 21. Not many junior teams going to keep a goaltender at 21 years old. So I started working for RDS, the TV station in Montreal during the summertime before going to university. And my first assignment was the NHL draft. And I was there at the draft, and my job was to go pick up the players for an interview, asking them to come up and for an interview. And I was kind of doing the running around, and that scout was there and introduced me to Phil Esposito. And Phil Esposito said to me, you know, I saw your tape of you. I didn't know you were a girl first, and now you're here. He said, would you like to come and trying out for us? And at first I thought he was joking. So he said to me, I'm going to be sending you a letter in the mail. You have 2 weeks to answer us. So that's how we got together, and that's how I met him. And sure enough, I got the letter in the mail, and I had to give them an answer.
You know, I want to ask how much though that experience, I guess, gave you a boost of confidence for really the rest of your career, you know, playing men's professional hockey in the IHL and the ECHL and the WCHL, and obviously playing women's professional hockey. You know, how much do you look back to that period early in your career when you were, you know, just coming up as a young, you know, 19, 20-year-old goalie, and how much it served you well the rest of your pro hockey career?
Of course, it absolutely, like, helped me. Because when I was younger, a lot of coaches said no to me because I was a girl. I was good enough to make the top level at the peewee age and at the squirt age, but they wouldn't take a girl because they thought I would take the spot of one of the boys that's going to make it to the NHL one day. So I had a lot of no when I was younger, and I kept going and I kept going. So when finally someone said to me, you know, we're inviting you, even if some people said to me, you know, they're only inviting you because for publicity. And I told myself, you know what, so many times people said no to me because of that, because I was the only girl. I said, if this time they invite me because I'm a girl, so I'm going to go for it. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter why you're invited to a camp. You still have to perform out there. And I had a lot of pressure, not just like a normal pressure of a goaltender, but I was a girl. I was the only girl there. And for my sake and also for Templeby's sake, I had to perform out there. So it was a lot of pressure, but I was not looking at it as a pressure situation that way. I was more like, this is a great opportunity that's given to me, and I'm going to make the best out of it.
Chatting with Manon Rayomme. And Manon, I want to ask you perhaps a little bit of a broader question, because we're talking a little bit about how, you know, how hockey and Pee Wee has come so far. And, you know, in the sense that training camp and that training camp you did with the Lightning, how has it changed since the 90s in your eyes? I mean, you think about your time with Tampa, with all the technology that exists today and the way they deploy it and analytics that can be used to tailor all these things to every single person's individual needs, I can only imagine it has changed. Just, it's like night and day, I imagine.
It's, you would not believe the kind of like fitness testing we did in Tampa back in 92 versus what they do today. Our fitness testing was the most push up and sit up in a minute. And then for our cardio, we were going up and down a little step for 5 minutes. And then they would put their finger on our neck and looking at their watch and take our, you know, heartbeat. So that was our testing. You can only imagine now with all those athletes and those hockey players, like they train like all off season to get in shape. So when they get to camp, like they're in an amazing shape and they get tested with all the machine. And so it's a lot different. And I look at it on the national team too. The year that I made the national team with the women's national team, it's probably the first time that I lifted weights. We never did that before to play hockey. So you see those girls today, like they are athletes. They are so muscular. They are so powerful. Their shots are harder. Their skating is faster. You can say the same thing about the NHL guys today.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, you know, what your career, you know, if you had come up in a time where technology and fitness was at more of a premium, you know, what that would have done. It's just, it's an interesting, you know, conversation to have. And, you know, looking at the women's game now, you know, they're obviously looking for a permanent home and a permanent league. We've talked to a number of players over the last few months about the work that they're looking to do there. You know, and a lot of them, and goalies in particular, point to you playing for Tampa Bay in those exhibition games as part of the reason that they wanted to play hockey and wanted to be goalies. So, you know, what do you think about when you hear top goalies, top players now looking at that experience that you had as, you know, kind of a huge inspiration for them to take up the game and try and become a high-level professional player?
You know, if I look up at everything that I did in hockey, the most satisfying part of it, I think, is I was able to inspire people with my story, and that makes me feel really good. You know, that's one of the reasons now with this children book that's coming out in October, I'm so excited about it because I hope that that will inspire the next generation of young people, but not just in hockey. It's telling people that you can, you know, if you have a passion for something and you work hard at it, and you believe in yourself, you can achieve anything you want. And you don't need to fit a mold to do something that you really like. Like, I certainly didn't fit the mold of an NHL goalie. I probably had everything against me, my size, you know, my gender, you know, the language I speak. but I still went for it. And I think that's if that the people can have that message to me, like, I'm glad that I got this amazing opportunity to be able to share that with people.
Manon, I'm really curious to get your answer on this about your experience in Nagano at the Olympics. I mean, I Josh and I have spoken to a number of players who have been at a variety of Olympics for the women's nationals team over the course of the last couple of years. But, you know, at Nagano, I can only imagine what being an athlete, for example, with a maple leaf on your uniform is like, not just when you're on the ice, but perhaps even at the opening and closing ceremonies.
You know, that opening and closing ceremony is probably the moment that I remember the most. The opening ceremony, actually the first day that the bus pulled in the village, the walk, like going down the stair of the bus, like your heart starts beating like crazy. And you're like, it's almost like being in a dream. And then the opening ceremony, I remember being younger and watching the Olympics, and every time Canada would come out, and, you know, you would get those butterflies in your stomach watching that. And now that was you walking around with, you know, the flag. And it was just like a very surreal moment. And you could not stop smiling the entire time you were there.
So you alluded to the book a little bit, you know, coming out pretty soon. Could you give us a little bit more on it, you know, specifics and kind of the process of putting a book together, what went into it, and what, I guess, you're most proud about for people to get into here in the next month?
Actually, the person that wrote the book, Angie Bolero, she's the one that also wrote the script for the movie. So. Right. She's an actress, a producer, and she wrote children books. So while working with the movie and working with all her children book, and, you know, she had conversation with Simon Schuster for other children books that she had, you know, she decided to also present a children book about my story. And that children book got picked up. And so that's been a collaboration for a few years, both with the book and the movie. And it's just been great to be able to be part of this whole process. And I'm really excited about it. And the illustrator is a very famous illustrator. And I was like, it's just the moment. Like, I remember that first night when I told my dad at the dinner table, because when I started playing, no other girls were playing. And I was really just only playing with my brother in the backyard. They were using me as a target to be their goalie. And at the dinner table, I remember one day my dad saying to my mom, like, we have a tournament coming up and none of the kids wants to play goalie. I don't know which kids to pick, and someone's going to get mad if they have to play goalie. And I told my dad, why not me? And that scene, like that drawing in the book, like when I turned the page and I saw that, it was just such a great memory, because I remember that moment.
And the name of the book is, of course, Breaking the Ice, the true story of the first woman to play in the National Hockey League. And you mentioned Angie Bolero, Manon. And was it weird meeting someone who's going to play you in a movie, too?
Actually, the funny thing is when she contacted me through my website, she told me that she wanted to do a movie with a female lead. And she wanted to do a movie to inspire people and wanted to meet me. And she left her phone number. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. This is a Michigan phone number. So I didn't think it was right, because she said she was from New York and right. Everything. So I didn't really believe it. And when we met, I realized that she was actually from Michigan originally, and she moved to New York to pursue her dream of being an actress and producing and do all those things. So, and then she stood down at the coffee shop. I remember it was a Starbucks. We're sitting there and we kind of look at each other, and it was just like a weird feeling, because we go everywhere now. If we do stuff together, we do filming or whatever, people think we're sister. So it was like, and then right away we kind of connected, you know, her experience as an actress, what she had to go through and what I went through with hockey. We really bonded and connected, and we started this project together, and it's just been great.
All right, Manon, before we let you go, I have to ask, with the Lightning in the Cup final right now, are you cheering for Tampa? And if so, who's your favorite Lightning player? I mean, like, would you personally, for example, lean Vasilevsky because of the goaltending connection, or are you going to go somewhere else?
I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, right now, I've been watching the series, and yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning always been a big part of, like, I always had a soft spot for them, so I always cheer for them every year. But Victor Hedman on defense has been absolutely amazing. I think he's the backbone of this team. Just tonight, actually, the way they had a breakaway and he was able to take the puck away, and he just scored another goal right now. Like, he just scored big goals, and I think everybody right now is the team is rallying behind him, and he's my favorite player right now.
Yeah, Victor Hedman is absolutely terrific. You'll get no argument from me. Chatting with Manon Rayom, first woman to play in any of the four major North American pro sports leagues, also a silver medalist at the 1998 Olympics. Manon, I really enjoyed this chat with you this evening. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's hope for a cup win in the near future.
Thanks for having me.